It's about a minute after 8 o'clock, a Wednesday morning, and that means we get to discuss the economy. And no better person to do that with than the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, with us this morning. Thanks for being here with us. Laureen, how are you?
Good morning, Ed. Wonderful. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And I need to start off on a personal note of how great it was to see you out in public at the golf tournament this past Monday. Quite a golfer, I guess. Your team did pretty well.
Well, we did all right. We're all hackers, but it was lots of fun in supporting the Chamber of Commerce, the Laguna Chamber of Commerce, and happy to support the local Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Fantastic. And I got to tell you,
there was that auction at the end, and I bid on the bench. I don't know if you saw that bench, but it was made out of the reclaimed wood locally here in Laguna Beach, and there's a company that puts all that together and makes items out of it. So that was fun.
So did you actually win in the bid? Did you get it?
Yeah. I got it.
Nice. I got it. Well, congratulations there, because it's quite beautiful. Good catch.
Thank you.
And I told you this off air, and I'll just quickly say it. It was fantastic seeing you. It really was great seeing you there. You always brighten up
thank
any day.
You.
You really do.
Great to see you. Thanks for what you did there, too.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. Let's hope you can brighten this up, because as I'm looking at the stock ticker now, we're down about 479 points in that range right now. And I'm seeing that cryptocurrency drops are driving that drop. Is that all, or is it worries about inflation as well? What's going on there?
Well, I think what we're seeing is technology, too, so is really leading the way on the decline. And we've been saying this for a long time to investors, that there's a rotation that's going on in the markets, and definitely time to take profits and rebalance. And I think people are taking advantage of that. I think a lot of that is driven by concerns for this next year on taxation. And people have a lot of gains in those large cap technology stocks, as well as since there's, if you look at the year to date numbers, Ed, between large cap growth and large cap value, a large cap value is leading the way. And so, you know, investors start seeing that and say, wait a minute, maybe I need to be in these other areas of the market. So I think it's definitely leading the decline and something for the investors to think about. Like I said, taking profits, maybe taking some gains this year in a lower tax environment, and reallocating your investments towards where the market is going, not where it was then. So it's a reopening trade, Ed. It's moving away from some of those companies that did so well last year. What's going to do well this year?
Thank you for clearing that up. I really appreciate that. That comforts me. Thank you.
The other thing I want to add about that, Ed, is we expect continued volatility to be going on. We expect a sideways market for the next few months until we kind of settle into some things. So I'd say to investors, expect that volatility.
When does it start to be really nerve time? Like right now, it's down a little under 1.5%, 1.44% right now. At what percentage of a drop do you start going, this is really concerning? In the course of a day. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, in the course of a day, investors should not worry about what it is. We can see, you know, what I would say is buying opportunities come at a 3% drop.
Okay.
You know, so see a stock that you've been eyeing and you're really wanting it, and it's a solid stock. You've looked at the funnels, you've looked at all of those things, and those can be buying opportunities. So that's what, you know, we'll oftentimes look for when we've been looking at a stock. We're looking for a drop and then a buying opportunity. But what I would say is corrections in the market of 5 to 10% are very normal.
Okay.
During a year. And so investors should not worry about that, because it's really looking at, once again, you know, where are we in the economy? We're still in the beginning of a recovery, beginning of an economic recovery. We're in a brand new cycle. And so that tells us we've got a longer ways to go. Now, the other side of that coin is that the higher growth is, in other words, higher GDP is in a certain year as we're in a recovery, the shorter the recovery can be. So let me use an example. In the decade that we had from 2009 and that whole decade of that recovery, we had a slow growth, lower GDP. That's why the recovery lasted so long. However, contrast that. In this economic cycle, I expect high growth and a shorter period of time because economic cycles can only go so long. Okay. So the last one, slow growth, lasted longer. I'd say this one is going to be higher growth, maybe shorter, but that shorter could be 5 years.
Right.
You know, the other one was over 10 years. So that's something for investors to think about too.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Right now, Amazon is in talks to buy MGM Film Studio. What does that mean for each company? And then what does that mean for the streaming wars in general?
Yeah. So it's a potential $9 billion deal. It's a big deal. And it is in line with what we're seeing. A lot of interest, obviously, in streaming, where companies like Netflix and Disney have really been at the forefront. And how can other companies really, you know, kind of pick up on that as well and get into that game or increase their holdings? Of course, then you look at companies like AT&T that are divesting. So, you know, I think the warning is, people think it's, you know, oftentimes large companies think it's easy to pull in other companies and make them successful. That doesn't always work. So, one, we'll see if this deal happens. And two, we'll see if it works. But, we know Disney came out with some disappointing numbers. So, you know, it's time will tell, Ed, but I would expect more of these kind of deals. There's a lot of M&A going on. More people wanting to be in the streaming services.
Right. Okay. And we'll keep checking, and we'll check back with you from time to time on that as well. You and I spoke last week about the minimum wage, and I'm reading now that Bank of America is going to raise the minimum wage to $25 an hour. They're going to do this by the year 2025 and also require their vendors and suppliers to pay their employees at least $15 an hour. Right now, I'm finding that also most banks are reducing staff due mostly to automation, I'm guessing. I see it at Chase here up the street. What will this combination of those two things, what will that mean to low-level banking employees? And will this be a more attractive lure for college graduates?
Well, you know, I do think that, you know, banking can be a great industry coming out of college. And I think that their initiative is part of, B of A has a very big mindset when it comes to ESG. So they're one of the companies, when we talk about environmental, social, and governance, they're one of the companies that does stand out as those things are concerned. They have a $1 trillion initiative for low carbon purposes by 2030. And they also are big on community development banking. And so, and then like you mentioned, this idea of minimum wage increasing and bringing up that wage. Now, the problem for the vendors and suppliers is that some of those companies, they're not the big bank that can maybe afford that. It might be tough. It might actually hurt some smaller companies that go, I can't do that in my small business. So that'll be interesting to see that requirement that they've made. But, you know, good on them for trying to help increase wages. It's easier, Ed, for a large company like B of A than it is for some smaller companies.
Right, right. Okay.
And I do think that it will be attractive, like you're saying, for people to get into banking, at least with them increasing those wages. And we'll see what that means for some of the other big banks. The big question is, will the other big banks fall to be competitive with
right.
B of A?
How important will it be to them to compete for those same college graduates or whatever, right?
Correct.
Okay. Speaking of big companies, recently, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Scion Asset Management revealed in a Securities and Exchange filing that it held bearish put options on more than 800,000 Tesla shares worth about $534 million. First of all, explain what put options are to us and what this means for Tesla. And will other companies start doing that?
Right. So it's an option to sell a security at a certain price, and you can exercise that option at a strike price. And investors or asset managers even tend to use it on stocks that can be very volatile, and they can take advantage of that, or it can be a way to protect losses in a sense. So it can be on more of a speculative way or a hedging way, as well as a way to protect losses. So people have to be very careful with that, those concepts when it comes to put options. And Tesla is one people tend to focus on, like I said. And so that's one of the reasons, too, that the stock tends to be a little bit volatile, very volatile. So, it's interesting that they're holding such a large position on that, that they have to disclose that. And, we at WealthWise, we don't use options. In my mind, they can be a speculative situation. And the other thing is, another thing we could talk about is stop losses is another way to protect yourself. But stop losses don't always work. Right. A stock can go right through that price. So I think all of that says, in a way, that it's a more speculative way of investing. And we always have to warn investors to think about more long-term investing, not speculative.
Okay. Let me ask you my plan B, and I think this is the B part of that, which is really kind of a pedestrian question. You talked about the volatility of Tesla, and it has plunged nearly 25% this past month. Is it because of concerns about Elon Musk focusing more on the cryptocurrencies and his giant screw up on Saturday Night Live, where he actually referred to it as a hustle?
You know, Elon Musk makes comments that move the markets. And I think what we've seen with his comments is his comments do have an impact. And it wasn't long ago that he got in trouble with the SEC as well. So I'm surprised that he's not more careful with his comments, and it can actually hurt his company's stock significantly. So I would, if I were talking to Elon Musk, I'd advise him to maybe not make so many public comments.
I got to make that connection at some point. I'll make sure I connect you to him. Inflation. We've been discussing it our last few weeks, and I'm wondering this morning where you think we'll be in 6 months, and if we're at 5%, will that be alarming? And what can you tell us about inflation this morning?
Yeah, so I think inflation, like I've been saying, I think it's here. I think it's real. I don't think it's out of control. So while it's there and we have to consider it more than we did in the last decade, I don't believe it's going to go out of control. It's not going to be like, your 70s type of inflation. But the thing about inflation is it's self-inducing in many ways. And if investors get more and more nervous about it, in a sense, it can feed on itself. It's like a domino effect. What I'll also say, there was a good article in the Wall Street Journal this week about that the kind of 4% is the magic number, and that when it goes beyond that, that's when we need to worry about it. And of course, we need to worry about it if it's too low as well. We have concerns about deflationary environment. We had that concern during the Great Recession, but were we going to be in a deflationary environment? It was hard to get inflation up in that kind of 2% range. And the Fed is focused on 2%, and they want to anchor at 2%. And they made it clear we're fine with it floating on average a little bit more than that. And that's where we think it's going to kind of settle in at that 2.5% mark over the next decade, and that investors need to be prepared for that. And I also want to warn investors, I think the Fed is going to start tapering their mortgage-backed security purchases sooner than later. I don't think investors are ready for that. I do think the Fed is going to try and be transparent. I think they're going to, my estimation is even starting in June at the next FOMC meeting with their comments, I would expect them to start talking about tapering, maybe not actually doing it, but starting that conversation to get the market ready for it. And the market will probably react to it and then, recover from that.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. You recently published an article that I found fascinating, talking about COVID-19 having brought to the forefront the importance of financial stability, especially for women. And that's why it's important to understand women's relationship with money and how to avoid common mistakes. Talk to us about that, about some of the common mistakes that you see and you try to avoid.
Yeah, and, you know, these are just trends that I've seen after being in this business for 30 years. And so, you know, there's certainly everybody falls into the category. But one of the trends that I've seen in the many years of working with men and women is that women in general tend to be more conservative with their money, to the point that their portfolio may not outperform inflation. And that's the point I try to drive home to female investors, is that, you know, here, like we were just saying, inflation is real. It's a silent killer of cash. And so women more than men want to hold a lot more money on the sidelines, a lot more money in cash, and they tend to be more risk-averse and worried about this short volatility, and we've been talking about that as well. So right now, you know, for women investors, even with this volatility, what I want to say to investors is don't focus on that short-term volatility. Volatility can be a healthy breather in the market and an opportunity to put more cash into the market. And that these temporary declines are just that. They'll correct itself and the market will go to new highs again. So that's one of them, Ed. And the other that I see, or, you know, something that women should think about, is their spending and making sure that their spending is in line with what they can actually afford. And oftentimes, you know, there's a disconnect and a sense of needs versus wants. And, you know, let's really separate out the two. There's needs, which is a place to live, right? Those are definite needs.
Right.
And then other things, you know, that aren't necessarily needs, but they're wants, like, you know, getting my nails done and, you know, things like that. So separating those things out and really understanding needs and wants and what can you afford with your budget. And are you really saving enough for the future, for retirement?
Absolutely sound and sage advice. Laureen Gilbert, where can we find you if we want personal sound and sage advice? Where are you?
So they can people can give us a call at 949-481-1177, or you can find us at wealthwisefinancial.com.
Always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for stepping in this morning, Laureen.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. We'll talk to you soon. 8:20 the time.
Okay.
It's the Mornings with Ed show. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Amy DeSherry with the Third Street Riders and Shayna Stabler at Stu News. Stick around.